We're talking about what changes the COVID-19 pandemic will bring to sports and the decisions coming down. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. NBA has its Disney World bubble with playoffs starting Monday. NFL training camps are underway, and the league announced midweek that less than 1% of tests have come back positive. The NFL's chief medical officer reported the data on a conference call with reporters. Daily testing will go on until further notice. That's from NFL.com. If you were a pro athlete, how often would you want to be tested for the coronavirus? What would you want to have happen if a player or coach tests positive? It's 800-642-1234. Olivia Reiner is a sports multimedia reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, where she covers Packers, Brewers, and Bucks. Olivia, welcome back to the Ideas Network. Hey, Olivia, can you hear us? I don't seem to be hearing Olivia, but we are talking sports with her. She was there just a moment ago. We're looking at how the sports world has been changing amid the pandemic, everything from the NBA to the NFL to the Big Ten announcing that this week that they would postpone the fall sports season. What does that mean for how you will consume sports? Are you a Bucks, Brewers, or Packers fan? How do you feel after the league suspended their seasons? Which sports do you usually enjoy watching this time of year? Join in at 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. We're going to be looking at the consequences of the sports world amid the pandemic and what it means for fall with Olivia Reiner. Olivia, can you hear me now? It seems like we're still not able to get Olivia Reiner. Olivia, are you there?
I'm here.
Oh,
hello.
Good. Hi. So let's start with the Big Ten, which announced this week that, you know, there wouldn't be fall sports. What does that mean? Did the earth move?
It certainly seems like it might, right? Yeah, there's still so many questions about what is going to happen to the fall football season. At the moment, the Big Ten, as well as the Pac-12, they're both saying right now that fall sports are off, football season is off, and it's being delayed to the spring. The aspiration is that they're going to play a season in the spring. So they're hoping at that point that the coronavirus spread has gone down, perhaps that there's some sort of vaccine out there in the world. However, that also presents the challenge of playing two seasons in 1 year. So they'd be playing both in the spring and then starting the following season on time in the fall, which presents issues from an injury standpoint as well to the players. So their questions are not all answered right now, especially as to how this might impact the NFL schedule as well, with recruiting players, hosting the combine, which would typically be in the spring, the draft. There's still a lot of questions that unfortunately I don't have the answers to, and neither do either of the leagues.
What are the financial consequences of not having a fall football season?
It's major. I mean, it's major even at the NFL level, especially in Green Bay, because Green Bay is so much like a college town in that there's really nothing besides the football team. So the financial implications are huge because the university uses that money generated from a big sport such as football to finance other things at the university, other sports that aren't big revenue sports, like more Olympic sports. So to not have that flow of cash coming in because of the football season, it's devastating. But you know, we've seen this happen in so many industries around the country. It's going to be devastating.
Football players have been speaking up, though, about how they feel about either a season not going on or a season going on in another league. So what are you hearing?
There seems to be two camps. We saw the Big Ten and the Pac-12 players from both of those leagues, not all of them, put out a statement online saying that, you know, kind of almost wanting to unionize in a way and to have certain rights protected. And then we kind of saw other players who maybe weren't in the same camp from other leagues share their posts and support them, but also say, hey, we want to play. However, this is what we'd like protected as well. And kind of the issue with that, it comes down to the NCAA and the fact that the players are amateurs and they can't unionize because they are overseen by the NCAA, and that's why that exists. So we've kind of seen this instance for the Pac-12 and the Big Ten where they would rather uphold that amateur status of their players rather than give them any sort of protections that would be considered to be kind of it would take away from their amateur status, whether they were given different housing from students or any sort of additional protections.
Well, could it even open the door for them getting stipends or being paid?
Right. And I think you've seen that at the NFL level where they've been able to bargain for certain protections and, like you said, stipends or cash advances from their salaries if they do want to opt out at the NFL level. And the players, the college athletes can't do that because they can't get paid. It's part of the NCAA rules. So it can't happen unless somehow the players separate from the NCAA.
So we know what the Big Ten's decision is. What are the other NCAA conferences doing going forward for the fall?
So they're going full steam ahead right now. The ACC, the Big 12, they are all, and the SEC, those three, the other three Power Five conferences are saying, you know, we're keeping our minds open. If our doctors for some reason say, hey, you know, we should stop, we should pause, we should delay, then we'll follow that advice. However, you would think that they're seeing all the same information that the Pac-12 and the Big Ten are seeing, so why are they making a different decision? It's a good question, but we'll see. It's certainly not set in stone, and we've seen that decisions can be made within days or weeks.
We're talking about the postponing of college football, the return of pro sports with Olivia Reiner from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, where Olivia covers the Packers, the Brewers, the Bucks. Taking your questions and your insights, if you were a pro sports athlete, how often would you want to be tested for COVID-19? What would you want to have happen if a player or coach tests positive? Should they be benched, isolated, quarantined? What happens to the team? We're at 800-642-1234. Olivia, let's talk NFL. The league plans to have a regular season, not really a bubble whatsoever in the what we're seeing out of the NBA. What do players think of this?
They all actually, from what we've been talking to players as they've come back to training camp on the Packers, and they're happy to be back. I think they're looking for some normalcy to take place in their lives right now, and football brings that. There doesn't seem to be much fear. Only one player on the Packers opted out. Devin Funchess, wide receiver that the Packers picked up in free agency in the spring. So he will not be playing for the team, however. Every other Packers player will be. They seem to be pretty happy to be back. We'll see how that goes as the season goes on. Right now, the NFL has been able to keep positive tests pretty low, which is
under 1%.
It's pretty low. And as you mentioned, sort of at the top of the show, they're going to continue doing daily testing throughout training camp. It was supposed to end after just 2 weeks. And then they would switch to every other day. But now they are going through training camp testing every day. And we'll see. I wouldn't be surprised if they decided to do that through the regular season as well.
Okay, so what does this regular season then look like? Because it's going to be far from regular.
It's not. Yeah, right. An irregular season,
yeah.
I suppose. It is going to look pretty similar, I suppose, for the players, except for maybe the fact that fans aren't going to be in the stadium in many cases. That hasn't been an NFL-wide mandate. However, some teams like the Packers have said, okay, for the first two home games at Lambeau, there will be no fans in the stadium and we will adjust going forward. Teams like the Dallas Cowboys have said, no, I think we're gonna have fans. We're just going to distance them and there will be tailgates. We're going to distance them. So different teams are saying different things, but the game itself should be pretty similar, I would think.
So what happens if there is a positive test on a team, you know, headed into a game? How does the NFL handle this?
So the NFL has created a different IR designation if a player either contracts coronavirus or they come into contact with somebody who tested positive, and that is the COVID IR list. And a player can be put on that list. They will not count against the roster. And then a team can bring up a player from the practice squad. They can sign a player off the street. Granted, if they would need to pass coronavirus testing in order to be signed. So there's some flexibility. And right now there's actually 5 players on that list for the Packers. It's not going to be easy, because what if an entire position group somehow ends up on the list? How do you go into a game with an entire offensive line on the COVID IR list? And of course, these are all the worst possible scenarios.
That could be really dangerous too for players who have never played with each other or have had little time with a team.
Yeah, I think, there's two different enemies to this. There are two different challenges this season. It's the actual game of football itself and all of the challenges that brings. And, every year, every season up until this point, we've seen how challenging it is to play this game and to be good at this game. And then there's also the challenge of the virus. It's a whole separate game that these teams have to deal with, that the coaches have to worry about. How far are the chairs distanced in their meeting rooms? Are they following all the proper regulations? Are players not, going out off and going out when they're not supposed to be? They're supposed to be home and distancing. It is two different games, and they're kind of being played at all times during the day this season.
We're looking at the long-term impacts of the pandemic on the sports world with Olivia Reiner of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. When it comes to the NFL, what are your thoughts on players if they opt out of the upcoming season? How do you feel about players receiving a stipend for games they would have played? Have you been following your favorite players during off-season? How are they expressing themselves? Are they wearing masks? Still time, 800-642-1234. Back in a minute with Olivia Reiner on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The return of sports is underway. The NBA is in a bubble. The NFL is training camps in a more loosely controlled environment with daily testing. But the Big Ten football season is canceled, and college sports programs are facing big dollar consequences that we'll be watching for. What are you watching for as teams try to keep infections in check? What questions do you have about NBA rules to keep players safe? How do you feel about the 2020 NBA bubble? Still time to join in, 800-642-1234. We have sports multimedia reporter Olivia Reiner from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel as our guide. Olivia, before we move on from the NFL, what fines or penalties are there for players who do not follow the rules?
There are penalties and rules, especially for when they are not in the facility. When they're in the facility, they're being surrounded by their teammates and their coaches, and they're able to perhaps enforce the rules, distancing rules, wearing a mask, all of that, a little bit easier. However, when players go home, there's no one to enforce those rules but themselves. Perhaps if they live with other players, they can hold each other accountable. However, there are fines in place that the NFL has, that if they're doing specific things that are deemed reckless behavior by the league, they can be penalized if they're caught doing so. That would include eating out at a restaurant indoors, or going to a bar, or usually it depends on how many people are present in a place and if it's indoors. So they're discouraged from doing that. Certain teams, the Packers are not one of these teams, are staying in hotels for training camp to try to create.
I saw the Saints. The Saints took over a French Quarter hotel.
Yeah. And the Seattle Seahawks are doing something similar as well. And I believe the Dallas Cowboys are too. Interestingly enough, yesterday, a Seahawks player was caught bringing a woman into the team hotel, and he has since been cut from the team. Mm. So they're not allowed to have any guests. And that rule, those rules will apply when the Packers are on the road playing games during the regular season. So there are rules like that, that only no visiting members are allowed in the team hotel. So there are a substantial list of rules to try and keep these players safe.
Let's move on to the NBA in its bubble in Orlando. What are you seeing there?
Well, we're seeing that things have been really successful so far down in the bubble in Disney World. There haven't been any positive tests inside of the bubble, which is great news. That's the whole point of the bubble is to keep the virus out and to keep players and coaches and everyone that's working down there negative and free from the virus. An interesting wrinkle now that is being thrown into this is that they're going to start allowing family members and close friends into the bubble. I don't know exactly what constitutes a close friend. There must be some threshold to be considered a close friend. It can't be someone you've never met or maybe you only know virtually. But they're going to start being allowed to come into the bubble, which is great news for the players who have been alone and only with their teammates this entire time. I'm sure they're looking forward to having family members. However, now those people are going to have to comply by all the rules that the players have been following. So more people, just a little bit more of a risk if people aren't following rules, but hopefully they will and they're able to pull off these playoffs without a hitch.
We're talking about how the NBA is keeping players safe during the season. Our guide is Olivia Reiner, a sports multimedia reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. She's taking us through the sports. You can join in on what you think, what you're seeing about the sports leagues and their decisions, how they keep the players and coaches safe. We're at 800-642-1234. So, Olivia, the playoffs get underway Monday. Can we talk about sports now, like what you're seeing on the court?
Right? There's sports happening. It's crazy.
What are you seeing?
Yeah, so the Bucks are in the playoffs. They've been playoff. They when they came into the bubble, they were going to the playoffs. That was already set. They had the best record in the Eastern Conference. At that point, they were just playing for seeding in these 8 seeding games that the entire NBA played before starting the playoffs next week. The Bucks only needed to win 2 games in order to secure the top seed in the Eastern Conference. They did that, and once they did that, everything else was kind of meaningless, and we kind of saw that for the Bucks. They didn't win a whole lot of games in the bubble, however, a lot of those games didn't matter so much. The most important part, and head coach Mike Budenholzer alluded to this yesterday, is that the team is coming into the playoffs healthy. So everyone should be available for the playoffs starting on Monday. And not all teams can say that. So the Bucks will play against the Orlando Magic on Monday in the first round of the playoffs. And it should be a good game. Good series.
Giannis got caught headbutting and was suspended for a game. What happened there?
I think his passion may have gone a little overboard. I think he headbutted a player on the Washington Wizards pretty early in the game the other day and was issued a 1-game suspension. After the game, his teammates and he kind of alluded to perhaps some cheap shots building up and some frustration at the fact that refs weren't calling things. So it boiled over. It was pretty unnecessary considering the stakes of the game were pretty low. Washington isn't a very good team. So he was suspended for a game. He was suspended for the last game of the seeding round. However, he will be available to play on Monday.
All right. So what are you looking for as they take on the Magic? How does the Magic look?
They're okay. I think that this should be easy for the Bucks. I think it would be a major upset if the Magic were able to pull off any wins against the Bucks. We just need to keep seeing the same from their star players, from Giannis, from Eric Bledsoe, from Chris Middleton, and some support off the bench, which those bench players have also been really good. And seeing that this is a great team that the Bucks have that defensively as well. Are they able to up their defensive firepower as well, not just in the paint, which I think they're pretty good at regularly, but also at the arc as well, defending 3-point shots too. So I think that'll be a big key for them heading into the playoffs, not just in this series against the Magic, but going forward as well.
Olivia, is the fan attraction there? Is the momentum there, that energy we would get in the playoffs, is that missing?
You know, I guess we'll find out. I think it's probably going to be more of the same as what we saw in the seeding games. But it does seem like it's a good environment. They're pumping in some music. It's not very crowd noise heavy, but the intensity has been pretty high, and the fans on the digital screens are in full force. They're able to fans are able to participate and call in, kind of a video call in, and show their support for their teams, depending on who the home team is. So, they're trying. They're certainly trying to create an environment that's competitive. But these games have really been entertaining, and it's good to know that the players are all healthy, too, up until this point.
Well, let's squeeze in here the Brewers and how they're doing this season. A few Major League Baseball teams have struggled with outbreaks, canceled games. How are the Brewers doing?
The Brewers have been able to stay mostly healthy, which is really great, considering that their close by rival in the Cardinals suffered a pretty bad outbreak, and they were supposed to play in Milwaukee, and they ended up getting stuck in the hotel in Milwaukee because they had so many players and coaches test positive, and they couldn't play against the Brewers. They missed the entire Brewers series, so they were stuck in the hotel until they needed to until they were allowed to leave. So the Brewers missed a few games. They've been struggling this season. It hasn't been a super hot one. They lost their first game of four against the Cubs down in Chicago last night, and they play again tonight at 7:15. So we'll see how that goes. But, I think if they can get through the season, that will be a positive in and of itself.
Olivia, thank you for joining us.
Anytime.
Olivia Reiner is a sports multimedia reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, where she covers Packers, Brewers, and Bucks. Just ahead, we invite you to share your programming ideas with us as we look ahead to the November general election. It's a caller only on politics and government. What you'd like to discuss leading up to the general election, bring your ideas, 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. It's The Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.